I've given a lot of thought to the desire to put program councils in the bylaws, and I'm coming down. I'm very strongly at this point averse to doing that. I think it's. I agree with you, Jabari, and that's a management thing. That's how you manage a radio station. It's not a governance issue. What I would like to see, and also, I don't think at this point we know how good programming decisions get made. And I don't know that what would work well in Los Angeles would work well in Texas or Washington. And if we put it in the bylaws, that doesn't allow our stations to experiment. I think, though, that governance is ultimately and completely responsible for our programming reflecting our mission. That is a policy matter. And if our programming is not doing what our policy-making bodies believe it should, then we, as policy-making bodies, do something about it. We pass a resolution that says you have to do something or you lose your job. You have the power to do that. But going in, and the other thing that worries me a lot about it is I want an accountable mechanism. So I want, and you know, as a listener, I don't know how many of you have been on bylaws programs where people have called in to discuss bylaws on the air, but I've been on a lot of them. And most of the time you're talking about bylaws and people will call in and they'll say, how come I don't get to hear the community calendar at 5 o'clock? So what is it the listeners care about? They care about programming. So they need to be able to know who is accountable. And if we have two different bodies that are elected, how are they going to tell who's accountable for what? Is our governing board or our policy-making body, are you going to recall them because you don't like the programming? Or are you going to recall the elected program council because you don't like the programming? How are you going to know who to hold responsible for what's coming out over the air? So I think we need a governing body that sets policy and says, our local station has to have good programming, and we'll see if you're doing it. And if you're not, we'll ask you to develop a better policy for doing it, but that's not a bylaws issue.
Yeah,
I'm confused.
Yes.
You just said it wasn't a bylaws issue, but you're saying we're going to establish entities that will work on these particular things.
No, I said the board, any governing board, whether it's the National Board of Directors or a local station board, is responsible for everything that happens in Pacifica. So, for instance, if WBAI decides that it no longer wants to sound like WBAI and wants to sound like something else.
So what do you have an executive director and a program director for?
So
you don't have them anymore?
The board of directors holds them accountable. We have set some expectations. The boards have to have expectations of an executive director.
That already exists. We already do that, don't we?
Well, if the executive director doesn't perform and starts doing stuff like Lynn Chadwick does.
Right, we'll get rid of him.
Right, so that's what I'm saying.
I don't understand then.
Okay, let me suggest that when we get to those particular recommendations, you know, that we'll come back to this conversation. I think it's a little abstract now.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, when we get to going through the particular proposals, then we'll come back to that. Are there any other kind of general comments we want to make? Actually, I would like to add just one thing to my comments, if I might. The other thing that I am very concerned about in the bylaws and the governance that we develop here is what the balance is between local and national. And I say this, you know, out of my other political activism, that I really believe social change happens out of some dynamic between local and national work. And for that matter, international. But I believe that we as the Pacifica Foundation, have an incredible potential, you know, contribution to be making here to social change, peace, and social justice movements, economic, et cetera, justice movements. When we are 5 strong individual stations and when we are a strong national entity, and that those two things don't have to be in conflict with each other, that we can have the, I think each station will be stronger for being part of a strong national organization, and the national organization will be much stronger if we have 5 strong stations. And layer into that, of course, the affiliate program, and you know, then we really become strong. So I'm looking for that balance also. That and I am concerned about some of the proposals here that I feel put more emphasis on local governance and potentially could lead us in the direction of weakening the national nature of what we're about. And I'm looking for efforts to balance those, too. Yeah, David.
Yeah, I think that we need to craft bylaws, I mean, that allow for the flexibility to do the creative work that Pacifica needs to do, to respond to the dynamic and changing political and cultural environment in which we need to propound Pacifica's mission. We need to be able to be flexible. Of course, we have to have accountability. We have the sponsors should hold the boards accountable. I think that's one of the reasons we are seeing the notion of electoral processes as a means of holding the foundation accountable. But there is a fundamental question, and it's a question that has not been really put on the table a lot, and I'll risk it by putting it on the table, although it has been discussed here and there. Is this to be a listener-sponsored network or a listener-run network? But in any event, I think we all agree that we got to get to work and get the programming on the air. We want to protect the foundation, but it kind of reminds me of a bad movie called The Panic Room, you know, where someone just tries to build a safe space, which ultimately never becomes safe. We can't protect ourselves so much that we shut out the possibilities. And it reminds me of the metaphor I've been tossing around of 4 people in a car, any number of whom want to go in different directions, and all of whom having their foot on a brake pedal. The car does not go forward. And I think we need to be aware of that. I think that the models, interestingly, mostly provide some interplay between the national and local boards. But I think that it's essential that we develop an interdependence so that the local boards flourish with the national board and vice versa. If we don't, then we do set up a polarity that I think could be destructive.
Okay.
How do we do that is a million-dollar question, right?
Jabari.
Jabari, I also want us to be cognizant that the foundation is supposed to be more than just radio stations, and that we have not done really anything outside of the area of radio, and we need to acknowledge that and incorporate that entity, that aspect of what we're supposed to doing into the structure, at least so that it isn't forgotten.
Okay. Are there other general comments? Because I think otherwise we should jump into it. Again, we're not going to make we're not going to take votes or binding votes today. Susan Silva just passed me a note that she has a suggestion for our process. Let me just remind people that we're not going to call on folks, right? This is we need the opportunity for this board to have this conversation. So she's going to offer a suggestion for us.
I think it is important to decide what's controversial and what's not. I think it's also important maybe to pay special attention to the 4 articles that the labs are going to get to decide on. And if you don't get to anything else, articles 3, 4, 5, and 8 are the ones where people in this room really have input.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Leslie, I must ask, there was no mention of distributing the drafts publicly, of distributing the ideas publicly. Are the bylaw subcommittees out of this? Is there no airtime to be devoted anymore to this discussion?
No. Carol, do you want to speak?
I apologize for overlooking that. Anything that comes out will be immediately made public on the web everywhere. And I hope that there will continue to be discussion on the air. However, it is shifting. We are shifting to the final run into the labs voting and the this board voting.
Okay. All right, thanks. And we will come back to that question before the end of the weekend about how to make sure that the conversation continues in a public way.
It's very important.
Yeah, we understand. Right. I think there's not a person on the board that doesn't agree with that. So I think what we need to do is go to the grid and just start looking at this stuff. Yes.
I think we need to put a moratorium on any more input coming into this process. I think if we keep this thing open-ended, we'll always be going back and forth. I think we just need to at some point say, look, whatever we got now is what we're dealing with, and because if we don't do that, then we'll never ever get things done. So, this what we decide isn't the last word on what the bylaws will ever be, but we need to fix the amount of the information we're going to process.
Okay, let me just if I can repeat that back to you, so I see if I'm clear with what you're saying. That is that we're not soliciting new proposals for bylaws, right? What we will do is come to as much agreement as we do this weekend and get that out to people and ask for comments or feedback on that. We don't want whole new ideas coming in.
I think what we really want is the response of the labs. I'm sorry. We don't want the response of the whole country and the committees. You've done a really great job coming up with wonderful ideas. Now we need to get to the labs that have a vote and move this process forward towards bringing a vote. That's my feeling.
Okay. Again, can we come back to that tomorrow afternoon at when we figure out the exact next steps? If there's anything controversial about that, because I do want to get into the heart of this thing. So I want to suggest that we work off of the smaller grid, which has the most up-to-date KPFK version integrated into it. You folks all out there probably don't have the smaller grid, so you have to hold those side by side. What's not in the grid are several other items, the material from the Pacifica Accountability Committee as well as the material from the Unity Caucus. That stuff, though, is... Well, we've been given all that stuff, so I don't know where you have it in front of you, but we'll all just do our best. So the first item, as I've been saying to people, that the first item should be the least controversial, but when I looked at it again this morning, I realized even there's a difference.
Sure. I think we should all agree with the WPFW article suggestion that Article 1, A, Section 1, that the – I'm Section 2, I'm sorry. Where is it?
No, we're on Article 1, Section 1.
Name.
Let's really do it orderly, right? Article 1, Section 1 is the name. The name of this corporation shall be Pacifica Foundation, and it shall be referred to in these bylaws as – and there are two options. The foundation is one option. Pacifica is another option. I don't know about anybody else. I personally don't have a strong feeling about this question.
Okay. Is there any objection to going with the WPFW, the foundation? Hearing no objection, let's move on.
Okay.
Section 2.
So we have achieved agreement. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's the end of our bylaws. Okay, so now we're on Article 1, Section 2, which is the purposes of the foundation. And there are basically two versions of this, well, three really. The one from PFW is the purpose of the foundation shall be as stated in the articles of incorporation, In order to fulfill the purposes of the corporation, as stated in the articles, the corporation is composed of a foundation, a national media network, and a collective of semi-autonomous community-based radio stations. The other proposal put forth by KPFA is the KPFA committee is to basically list what the articles of incorporation say, to spell it out. I think those
Furtick does the same. But the KPFK committee just says the purposes of the foundation is as stated in Article 2 of the Articles of Incorporation.
Now, one thing I really like about the unity constituency model is the statement of principles. Where would something like that fit?
There's another Section 3, principles, policies, and practices, or collaboration.
Okay.
Right. So for now, it would just be on the purposes. So basically, it's whether or not we spell out the articles of incorporation in this, or go with a shorter summation of the articles. Can Jari?
I'm for shorter.
Why? Just to. I want to hear a pro and a con on that.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's what we do. Pro and a con.
The reason I'm for shorter is because it's shorter.
Well said. Thank you. That was nice and short how you said that.
I mean, it's bylaws, so.
You made your point.
Yeah, it's short.
Okay. Is there some?
Not to be more serious, I think the shorter the document is, if it goes past 20 pages, I think you've done too much. The shorter the document is, the more I think people will be willing to read the whole thing. That's really it. So if you can keep it short and stuff that doesn't really need to be spelled out, you can take more time to spell out stuff, and I think people will read the whole thing.
But Jabari, this is the very part of the bylaws that you talk about, that what we should be doing other things than radio broadcasting. It's talking about the awards and all that stuff.
Let's hear somebody argue for why we should have the longer version.
I would like... All right. I think we should have it in the bylaws because it's more likely to be read, and people tend to look at the bylaws and refer to them. And it's good to be reminded of the purposes of the foundation. So it keeps it in people's mind. I went back and forth between it's better because it's shorter, and I found that the document that we produced was about 18 pages, which is under 20, with it spelled out.
Jabari's principle.
Is this repeated at all anywhere else in the document?
No.
Is it spelled out anywhere else in the document?
No. This is verbatim quote from the Articles of Incorporation, and it's put here. That's the statement of purposes.
Okay, can we have a sense of this body? Unless somebody wants to add something, George?
In the KPFA, A, B, C, through D.
Yeah.
Is that Article 2?
Yes.
It seems duplicative to enumerate that as again. I strongly agree with my good friend Jabari. Brevity is most important.
I'm sorry. You said, is that in Article 2?
That is Article
2. This is Article 2. There's no reason
section
to repeat
two.
It.
No, it's Article 1, Section 2.
No, I'm sorry. It's Articles of Incorporation.
It's only once in the document.
No, my question, though, is A through D, or E, whatever it is, is that
is Article 2 of the Articles of Incorporation?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That's distinct from
the Yes,
Bible.
That's what it is. It's spelling out what the Articles of Incorporation say.
Are the
why
purpose.
The purpose of the foundation is.
I agree with Jabari. Let's just refer to it and not enumerate it.
Okay. Can we just have
sense of
the body? Sense of the body. A straw poll kind of thing, right? Because we'll do binding votes tomorrow. Just so I'm clear with people, part of the reason why I don't want to take binding votes now is not all the board members are here. There are at least two more that we know that are coming tonight. So, you know, we might as well have the fullest board here to take the votes. Sense of body. All those, how should we do this? Well, the shorter version is listed first. So all those in favor will vote that, up or down. Mm-hmm. If that does...
There are three versions. It's K and W.
I'm sorry, there are two shorter versions. You're right. K also has even shorter. That is, the purpose of the foundation is as stated in Article 2 of the Articles of Incorporation. It's even shorter. So, but since what I'd like to do is take a straw poll on the PF, on A, on B, and on D. Okay, we'll just see what the votes are like.
How many prefer?
Okay, how many are in favor? How many prefer the articulation of Article 1, Section 2 as in draft number A? I prefer that.
Can we do this? I have another proposal. I think the issue is shorter versus longer. I don't care whether it's A or D. Just do shorter, longer.
Okay, we'll start that way. Okay. How many prefer shorter? The shorter one. There are two short ways to say this. So what Jabari is suggesting is first we see if people want shorter, then we can determine which of the shorter. But if people want longer, then we don't have to worry about which of the shorter. Okay? Okay, so how many prefer shorter? Just raise your hands. One, two, three. And how many prefer longer?
Not as a rule, but in this instance.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Okay, so we tend to go for longer.
So that has the preference, but again, we're going to come back to that tomorrow and see where we are. Okay? Well, we're just zipping along, folks.
Don't say that.
Okay, Article 1, Section 3. And in two versions of this, one version is called Collaboration, Section 3. In another version, it's called Principles, Policies, and Practices. And then in the third, it's called Collaborative Relations. Then there's also from the constituency model,
Statement of Principles.
Statement of Principles, which is
I don't have in front of me.
Go into this section. Okay, so those are the three.
Can we have somebody maybe summarize what those principles are so we can knowingly vote on that?
Also, let me just say, on the KPFT thing, it's not called anything.
It's collaborative relations.
Is also collaborative relations? Okay. Thank you.
I'll just write that in.
Yeah. Okay, so we have several versions here. What do people think?
Shorter.
Shorter. Jabari says shorter. Carol says longer.
I say that because I haven't had a chance to read this statement of principles, I don't want to consider it or I don't want to take a vote until I've had a chance to read it.
Again, the statement of principles is what came to us from the Unity Caucus, the Constituency Model Unity Caucus.
So I will endeavor to read. I will read this tonight. I will skip a party to read it.
But Chair, if we're going to move on to the next section, I would strongly recommend in Article 2, Section A, that we adopt the WPFW proposal.
Wait,
we haven't gotten there yet.
I'm just skipping ahead. I think this is a fun one.
David, please.
What are
you talking about? I don't know. Just forget he said that. Just ignore that.
Hey, wait a second.
We didn't finish Article 1, Section 3. Carol suggested she would like to not be asked to indicate a preference yet because she wants to read the Statement of Principles from the Unity Caucus. Do other people feel the same way, that you want to come back to this tomorrow when we...
Can we have them provide a copy of it, if you have it available?
This is it?
We all got
it in the packets that we got today.
Yeah.
We all got packets. That if anybody didn't get it, we'll make sure you get it before the week break today.
For the sake of expediency, are there going to be items that we are going to refer to at a later time, and is this the first one of many?
Probably the first,
although we will come back to all of them, because like I said, we're not doing any binding votes today.
I would suggest move forward and we look back at this.
Okay, if that's okay with people. Now we can move forward. Hearing no objection. Jabari.
Let me offer this as self-help. Some of these sections like this one functionally have no authoritative action item requirement on the board. They're a statement of philosophies. Yes. They don't require us to take an action. Yes. So I'm just saying, looking at them myself, they basically all say and touch upon core things.
Yes.
Let's just pick out those three or four things and call it a day, and then move on to the stuff where we actually have to implement something. As a general rule of determining how we should take time to discuss the different articles, because this is not one where, you know, I could care less what you put in there, because, you know, it's not going to tell us to do or not do something.
Okay, well, but I think we just agreed that we're going to move on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying
right,
we should wait, waste
right,
time.
We'll try to do that when we can. Okay, thank you.
Not can we talk about Article 2?
Now, David, we're in Article 2. I don't know. He's very hot to tread on this one. Article 2, Section 1, Principal Office.
Yeah, WPFW proposes that the Principal Office be in the County of Alameda, and I concur with that.
I just want to point out a typo. Oh, Principal Office should be PRINCIPAL. Across.
What is that? Can you say that again?
It's a typo.
Principal.
Yeah, the principal office.
Okay, we will send this document to a lawyer, and we will all send it to the Webster's people. We'll send it to a spell check. Yeah, let's not worry about that right now.
Okay. Yeah, but it's
okay.
Important.
Okay, is there any difference between these?
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is a difference, right? The only difference is that in the PFW thing it calls for, in the principal office, it says in the County of Alameda, or such other places as the board of directors may designate. The others leave out the or part of that sentence.
What's the?
And put it into another part.
What's the purpose of the or?
It means that if you move the principal office, you don't have to amend the bylaws to do it. It's not a bylaws issue. It would be done by a resolution of the board.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that it's the same thing in another area of the bylaw, because it says it in Section 2.
What it says in Section 1 is that this is my reading of it, and maybe folks from Washington could clarify this. My reading of this is that Section 1 in the PFW proposal is that the principal office shall be, in the County of Alameda, State of California, or at such other place as the board of directors may designate. The other proposals, three of the other proposals just say that the principal office and place of business shall be in the County of Alameda. The KPFK suggestion agrees with PFW, mm-hmm. right? Then all of the proposals have Section 2, which says that the foundation can also have additional offices, other offices in other locations.
Such as WBAI, KPFT, KPFK, WPFW. Those are other offices.
This looks like a controversial item in there.
Well, let's just see a quick show of hands. Let's just see if it's controversial or not. Again, since the first one is the PFW suggestion, I want to suggest that we see if there's agreement on that. Right? All those who agree on the wording offered by WPFW. I don't have to read it again, right? It's the one on the furthest left. All those who agree with that wording, raise your hand. One, two, three. Excuse me. We're voting, right? We're voting on Article 2, Section A, if you agree with the PFW suggestion. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 who support that. Okay, and all who are don't support that, who would not support that. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. That has nothing to do
that
with...
That doesn't matter because...
it
doesn't matter.
Comments.
Yeah. Okay, then Section 2, I think there's across-the-board agreement on that other offices can be in other locations. There's no objection, right?
Non-controversial.
That's non-controversial. Okay. Article 3, members of the foundation. Okay, now this is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be controversial, but it might be complicated. Right? This has a lot of parts to it. And let's get going with Section 1. where we're defining who the members are. Yes.
I want to apologize to everybody. I have to leave to take a phone call. I'll be back in approximately 1 hour, and I figured I'd say that before we get into this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
Leslie?
Such a gentleman.
I'm sorry. I have a point of information.
Yeah.
How does the Unity Caucus get to be understood here, but the Pacifica Accountability Committee not be? I'm trying to understand that.
Well, we're trying to do our best to if you have something that we missed that we should have been talking about, yell it out, I guess.
Okay, because I'm
just trying our best because it's not in the grid. So.
Okay. But I've got ours here, and you've got a copy of the PAC bylaws right there, so we can be looking at that too, each section.
We're trying to. Okay, so Tom, are you suggesting that on this question on defining membership, the PAC bylaws has something to offer us? Okay, so that would be in your packets. In your packets near the back, it's like the third from last section, is Pacific Accountability Committee draft. It's not included on the grid. So, and you'll see Article 3 there is membership. So we need to look at Article 3. It's the third from the back. Article 3, membership. Now, in the constituency model documents that we were given, I don't know where that is, there's membership and voter registration. So we need to think about that also. And actually, there were two constituency. We got a longer one and a shorter one. The shorter one is just the critical elements. The longer one is longer. Duh. More spelled
Leslie,
out.
Can I just clarify what you were just asking? The short explanation of this section would be the open under the critical elements number 2, open definition of membership.
I really.
I think with a shorter version.
Open definition of membership. Okay. All right, so I know this is, there's a lot here. So we'll start with what's on the grid. Section 1, right, of this article is to define what we mean by members. Okay, does someone want to say something?
Yeah.
I know Jabari wants to say shorter is better. No, Jabari, I don't want to.
I don't know.
I think to define the issues, the way I look at it is how many classes of membership? How do you define people in that class? And then the criteria. So the two proposals, the two differences are either one class or two classes of members. Mm-hmm. So I think we should just take a vote on the filling of one of two classes, since those are the two proposed classes.
One proposal is that staff get to vote and elect representatives. That would create a separate class for staff, and the other proposal doesn't. So are you saying we should narrow
the field? What I'm reading here, I'm saying you either have one class. The proposal say there's one class of membership or two classes.
Right, but we need to understand what one and two means. And two means that staff elect their own representatives in a separate election from listeners. So that because the staff holds their own election of their own representatives, they are legally a class of members. You may not like the word class. You may think that's offensive, but that's the legal term for a group that holds its own election for its own representatives. It's a class. So there.
Okay, is that clearer? I mean, does that help people?
Just need to make a correction. And
column
D of the short of the 8.5 by 11 comparison grid for this item, please write in one class.
Okay.
For the KPFK committee.
Right.
Please.
Okay. Thank you.
And if I could, Fearless Leader,
yes.
The see K-PIFK Fertig, my version. It says one class, but in fact, it's erroneous, I believe. I do describe later in the following section that there effectively are two classes insofar as there is a separate staff qualification, paid and unpaid staff, whereby staff elect their own representatives. So I think that, in truth, the versions B, C, and E all look at two classes.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would speak, I think that there is a relatively broad consensus that there's some controversy on this, to be sure, and not insignificant, but my sense is that the general consensus is that staff should have representation, and I certainly support that.
Maybe we should
and
just take
a let me just say that the PAC proposal is for one class. And the constituency, I'm not exactly sure. Well, it says open definition membership. Does that mean many classes? Or?
Well, that means that anybody who registers would be eligible.
So it's one class.
No, actually, no? Legally, there would be there would need to be as many different classes of members as there are constituencies. So what would have to happen is when we go for a legal review, we would have to define and count those up and say there are 16 constituent classes of members, or 12, or okay. 6, or however many it is.
Does everybody understand that? Because I didn't quite get it. Could you go over that again?
Yeah. Okay. If you have a constituency of Latino members who have registered as Latino voters, who hold their own election, electing their own Latino representatives, they are a class of members. They're a distinct class of members from the people of African ancestry who also hold their own election of their own representatives. So they would have to be defined separately, and there would be that number of classes of members. A lawyer could work it out and count for us how many we need, but it's... We've either got one, two, or many.
Yeah. Okay, because I thought leader. It was one, but that's not...
No, legally it's different.
No, it'd be many.
Fearless leader. What about affiliates? If affiliates... I guess, do we need to cover affiliates there?
I did, in the KPFA model, separately, not make them members because they don't directly hold an election for... directors. We could talk about that now or later. I gave them in the KPFA proposal, they have the power to nominate but not to elect directors. So they don't become a class of membership under the KPFA model.
Yeah. Sorry.
Just for clarity, we have one class of membership which allows anybody to be a member, staff, listeners, brown, white, Republicans, whatever. And therefore, it simplifies things. And just for people to consider, when you start getting into classes, you have to have definitions and then categories. And the only reason you have classes of membership is because you have designated slots on the local advisory board. Mm-hmm. There's no need for classes if you don't have designated right. slots on the local advisory board. Once you start having designated slots, then it's like, how many people sit on the board, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So just consider what the ramifications are when you start increasing these classes and how you will implement this thing in the real world.
So, Jabari, so you don't believe that there should be any spaces, for example, for the staff, for example?
No, staff is not prohibited from being...
No, I'm saying, but specifically allotted for them.
No, I don't. It isn't so much an issue of philosophy, it's an issue of practicality and implementation. Once you start making distinct definitions of classes of people, you have to implement that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And what we're saying is, it is just the easiest thing in the world that says everybody who wants to participate has a chance to participate.
But so you do not want. You do not want to have a set aside.
Yes, seats. Right. I don't want to have designated slots because I don't know how much unanimity you can get. I don't know how well you can do it. It's going to change. It's going to be different in each region. It just causes problems. It causes more problems than I think you gain benefit from. Because if people are going to be active and participate, they will be active and participate without having to be a part of a designated class.
I have a... We're certainly interested in expediency, and I know we want to keep things simple, but I thought the mission is supposed to be behind everything we do. How does what you're saying help further the mission and what we're trying to set up here to help the folks have a voice in this? Does that make sense?
It kind of goes back to what Leslie kind of said. You're either going to design bylaws out of fear, or you're going to design it out of what you think is the best. And
I'm not saying fear. I think I'm saying more of an affirmation of a point of view.
I understand, but implicit in what you're saying is you're afraid that something bad is going to happen unless you do this, unless you slot things, unless you designate things.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Certain things won't
you're
happen.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is you may be philosophically correct, but from a basis of bylaws, you are embedding a structure, you're embedding a mechanism to try to achieve a structure that you can't ensure will happen even if you create the structure. What you can always do is say anybody who wants to participate shall not be prevented from doing it, whether they be staff, unpaid, programmers, or whatever. You have a chance. Then everybody has to make themselves known, demonstrate their commitment, so forth and so on. And all I'm just saying from the point of view of philosophical purity, I can see maybe staff versus unpaid or staff versus non-staff. But once you start getting into these other demographics, where do you end? We took the approach, it's simpler to say anyone who wants to participate should be allowed to participate as one group of members, period. And whoever wants to come, whoever wants to bring their energy, is not prohibited, whether you be on a paid staff, whether you be wherever. That was our philosophy, because we didn't feel, and I don't feel, that I have the knowledge and sageness to create the right classes of members.
Okay. I think David was next, and then Ray, and then Carol.
I do not think it's a point of fear to affirm the dynamic of really implementing through the structure of the bylaws the really core value that the people that produce the programming have the say over the manner in which they operate. They have a participation in the governance by which they produce the programming. I know it's not just a radio network, but it's primarily a radio network. And I think it was founded, and everyone that has read Lou Hill's, I'm sure everyone on the board has, Lou Hill's theory of listener-sponsored radio, will recognize the resonance of those principles and the notion that staff, paid and unpaid, those people that actually produce the programming, be able to say, this is how we're going to do it. And at least not if totally controlled, but certainly have a substantial influence and have a reserved seat at the table for that purpose.
Okay. Well, I agree with Jabari philosophically in terms of our goal of maximizing participation. We just don't agree necessarily as to how to implement it. And it is my contention that what you are stating does not guarantee, and it is not done out of fear. It is done out of a concern that is an absolute requirement to ensure that this is a reality. And it is an absolute requirement that we do consider it, at the very least. And this is what Janice is suggesting here. And in some cases, it pays to simplify. In some other cases, you can. And this is one of those where simplification, I believe, in oversimplifying, you would actually remove the essence of what you're trying to achieve.
Careful. Well, I want to echo what Dave said about, I believe that the staff has an interest that is distinct from all of the other issues that we could discuss, and that clearly does need to be identified and have a seat in the governing body. So I'm for two classes to start with, listeners, sponsors, and staff. The issue that the Unity Caucus proposal brings up for me is a hard issue, and I'll tell you what it is. It's whether we are going to say that only Latinos can vote for Latinos, and only African Americans can vote for African American seats.
Is that true?
And as I understand it, I need to register as a Latino to vote in the Latino election. No, there is a seat that's set aside specifically, a constituency. I want to just state my point. There is a constituency seat set aside for Latino people, and there's a constituency seat set aside for gay and lesbian people, and there is a constituency seat set aside for Asian people and Arab people. And the difficult political issue for me here is whether we should vote in separate elections. I understand, I think, the principle behind saying we should. The principle is Latinos choose their own voice. Why should African Americans vote for the Latino voice on the board? Why should an Arab have a voice in choosing the Latino voice on the board? That, I think, is the political philosophy behind separating out these classes and saying the Latinos will choose their voice, the Arabs will choose their voice, the Asian will choose their voice. They have the right of self-determination to choose who speaks for them. I think that's the core issue of what the constituency model is putting before us. And it's a very difficult issue for me, and I'm inclined to say no, I don't like it. I'm inclined to say we need to come together. And I would like to say how we come together is the outreach. All of the outreach that is in this model is a model for reaching out to communities throughout our signal area, involving them, and bringing the candidates before the voting body. And I think that if all of the work that went into recruiting candidates in constituencies went into recruiting candidates, period, we would have a beautifully diverse board that all of us help to choose. And so I'm saying I don't like not having a voice in who. Yeah, I know you don't.
Rashida.
I don't like not having a voice in who. In anybody who is on this board. I think I don't want to give the African Americans in our listening audience no right to vote on me, to approve of me, if I'm running as a woman, if for the woman's seat. And so I'm just coming down saying that feels like a core, very difficult and hard issue here, but that's where I'm feeling.
Okay, Ray.
Yeah.
Ray was next, and then George.
I'd like to clarify this a bit. I think that the idea is that first it increases diversity. So instead of just creating a section for people of color and hoping that different groups are represented, it guarantees that the main subsection of those constituencies are present.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Second, if you want, it is the ultimate accountability. It means that people who voted for the individuals are the ones who have the right to recall them. Third, There are categories for geographic categories and at-large categories, which should allow people to pick Afro-Americans. The thing is that we're not living in an absolute world, and there's a price to pay for a greater right, hopefully. And the price might be that there's one specific individual that I might not be able to support. However, within the confine of the regional category and the at-large category, anybody can vote for anybody in those categories. And within those categories, there will be people of all that belong to all the other subsections.
Carol, I totally agree with you. In this glorious, wonderful city of Houston where I live, you know, we have an African-American mayor who many of us who are Anglo voted for. Now, persuade me why we should have a membership class or seats allotted for staff.
You want me to persuade you?
Yeah, I want you to persuade me.
Well, I think that the staff members have a unique perspective on the working conditions inside the station and the power of politics inside the station. The how the workplace is functioning, whether good management decisions are being made, whether their jobs are bearable or unbearable, whether they're being consulted, whether it's a collaborative workplace or whether it's an autocratic workplace. Those are things that staff people know because they work there. And they can help a board evaluate and make certain that our stations are run better by bringing that information to a board. That's something that I don't know. I'm a listener. I live an hour and 20-minute drive from the station, and I don't know what the day-to-day working conditions are inside KPFA except. So I think that the staff has a unique and very different perspective and interest in our stations running well.
So. Can I just want to make a suggestion and process here. That is that there are three sort of proposals around this. One is that there be one class of membership. Two is that there be two classes. And three is that there be
many
mm-hmm. classes. So can we just try and see where we are on the big question? In other words, if the majority feel that there should just be one class, then maybe this last round of the conversation, you know, we don't have to pursue. But if the majority feels that we want more than one class, whether it's two or many, then we can continue.
Okay.
Just to clarify, again, I just want to reiterate that the only reason you have classes is because you have designated slots on LEBs, which will then affect your elections and so forth. But what I hear people saying, they want to ensure certain representation and certain input from certain groups. There's nothing to stop people, as people have already been doing through this whole process, to establish caucuses or to establish collectives, and to, in fact, come to the LAB meetings, sit on the committees on the LAB meetings, or sit on the committees of the LAB and the national standing committees that allow it, and participate. I think people are confusing the opportunity to participate and influence actions versus being in that body that votes on those actions. I just want to say, as this discussion is making clear and clear to me, that the more complex you make it, is going to decrease the possibility that you can write it and implement it correctly.
Can I just see by a quick show of hands where we are on the question of should there be one class or multiple classes?
One or two or
two
or many.
Right. One class or multiple classes.
No,
I want to first separate out one class.
All right.
Right? if there's no support for, if there's not enough support for one class, we'll drop that, and then we'll look at two or many.
All right.
Okay, I'm just trying to try eliminate some of what's on the table.
Okay.
Okay? So, what I want to ask is, by, again, a straw poll here, how many believe there should be one class of members? Three. Okay, and how many believe there should be two or more classes of members?
Two or more.
Yeah, two or more. Okay, so most of us here at the table now think there should be two or more. So we're no longer talking about the one class, if we can. Right? We're going to talk about two. Right, we're trying to narrow the discussion out. Now the discussion is about should there be two classes, which are essentially the listener sponsor members and staff members. That would be the two classes. That's one option. The other option is those two classes plus other classes as offered by the constituency model. Okay, comments about that?
Well, Chair, if I might, just procedurally, we identified three people who supported there being a single class. We know that there's six that support either of the two other proposals, but there may be, through the plurality, there may be still a substantial minority relative to the class of one. So I don't know that we've really isolated anything unless we're going to do a straw poll as to the second divergence.
Okay, why don't we do that then also? Do a straw poll now on just to see, where the majority sentiment is. And so, again, there are two options. One option is two classes, listener sponsors and staff as one option. Second item is those plus other classes. Okay? So, first option, right? How many support two options, listener sponsor members and staff members? As, yeah. One, two, three, four, five. No, that's right. You can vote again now. Six. Right. One, two, three, four, five, six. And how many support those two plus other options?
Yes, two.
Two. And you might have noticed I did not cast a vote on this one because I'm honestly confused about what I think. And if I might speak to this, I think I understand the motivation. And the desired goal end of the many classes approach. I also understand some of the critique of it, or some of the analysis of it, in terms of trying to draw out some of the potential problems or limitations of it. I said this at a meeting in New York many, many months ago when an earlier version of this first came up, that I'm concerned about reinforcing through this kind of structure what I would call, is my own personal feeling about it, the worst of identity politics, where people's relationship to this institution is primarily based on whatever the particular identity is. And let me just be very clear. I've spent many years involved in identity politics work. I think through identity politics, a lot of advances have been made in the struggle for justice in this country. So I'm not putting down identity politics, but I also think there are limits to it. And I'm concerned that we would, by doing this in the bylaws, lock ourselves into some of those limits as opposed to figuring out how to build from those movements and build greater unity between those movements. So while I understand the motivation for this and the interest in this, I'm concerned about it reinforcing what I see as some long-term problems. I also just want to say, and this is, again, a reflection of my politics, the way it's written in the proposal where there's the category of historically oppressed and structurally discriminated, which mostly have to do with race and ethnicity and nationality, and then another category of often exploited and or marginalized. I don't agree with that distinction, the way those distinctions are drawn. For instance, I believe that women are both historically oppressed and structurally discriminated against. I think sexism is a structural problem. I don't think it's a marginal throwaway room. So I have some problems with this. So I don't know what to do with all that, with my own contradictory, thoughts about this. That's why I didn't cast a vote on it.